The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
Glory to God. Well, we just sang a song about taking the limits off. Amen. And I want to tell you this, and you probably already know it, but it needs to be said sometimes. The only thing that can limit God in your life is you. Satan cannot limit God in your life as much as he would like to. If that was true, not one of us would be here today. Come on. We know who God is, and it ain't that little devil. Come on. It's God Almighty, creator of all things, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's the one calling the shots, and he's the one in control, and he's the one we surrender to. And the only thing that ever limits God doing anything in my life is me. If I don't believe him, if I don't trust him, if I don't honor him, if I disobey him, those all limit God. But when I open myself up to the Lord to hear and respond and obey what he says, man, he just takes the limits off. Amen. Taking the limits off, I can remember a time where one of the hardest areas of my life trust God with was finances. Isn't that crazy? Because, I mean, you know, the reason I say it's crazy now is because I trusted him with my eternal soul. You know, I trusted that what he said was true concerning Jesus and the forgiveness of my sins, so much so that I just quit worrying about whether I was going to go to hell. I got it settled once and for all. I'm not going there because Jesus paid the price that I don't have to. He was already punished for my sins, and I've been made right with God because of what Jesus did, and that settles it, and that's done, and it's over, and praise God, I'm on my way to heaven. And I just settled it, right? But at the same time, I had so much confidence in the fact that God sent Jesus and he died for me, and because of that, I'm forgiven and I'm saved, and boy, I just had great confidence in that. And then here would pop up some unexpected bill or some something, and I would struggle like crazy to trust God for financial needs to be met. And you should stop and think about that a minute. I trust God with my eternal soul, but I didn't necessarily trust him with my checkbook. How out of balance is that? That's pretty crazy. And the reason why that I struggled in that, and I don't really struggle in that anymore, but the reason why I struggled with that was because all my life I'd heard about Jesus, our Savior, dying on a cross, forgiveness of sins. I'd heard about all that, but I hadn't built my faith up in the fact that God cares about every detail of your life. He doesn't just care about your eternal soul and heaven. Jesus came that you might have life and that more abundantly, and it doesn't just start when we exit this world and go be with Jesus in heaven, does it? Eternal life starts the moment I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And when he said, I've come to give you life, the Greek word is zoe, and it means the life that God intended. And I believe that God doesn't intend for our lives to be lacking things. I believe that God wants to display his glory in his children so that people will look in our lives and see God's goodness. I believe that. Does that mean we'll never have a problem? No, it doesn't mean that. It means that in every problem we have, God is right there with us, and we ought to go through those problems in a different manner than other people do. Like the day that I was working at the crude oil refinery, and it was a very lucrative job. When I went to that crude oil refinery from the car dealership that I worked at, I literally started making 2.5 times the amount of money instantaneously day one. And I'd been at the car dealership for 5 years. And on day one at the crude oil refinery, I made 2.5 times more money than I did at the car dealership. And man, it was a lucrative job. And it wasn't really all that hard. Now, it had some danger involved in it because we manufactured jet fuel and this and that. But I wasn't ever worried about it. On my heart had it on the front. It says, my boss is a Jewish carpenter. How many know what that's talking about? On the side said, angels have charge over me. Had a big old cross on it, you know. And that was just my way to express where my trust was at, my confidence was at. But man, that was a lucrative job as far as finances goes. And even the work time, you know, you'd have 4 days in a row off at times. It wasn't fun working shifts, but it had some benefits and perks. And then one day I go in, and on my part of the refinery, there are six of us that work on that end of the refinery. Our job title was called loaders. We were sometimes loaders and sometimes unloaders. We had to receive crude oil. We had to load up jet fuel and diesel into tankers. And that was our job. But one day we went in, and there had been some things going on at the refinery. And I won't go into all the details, but the owner of the refinery comes in and says, we don't need y'all anymore. Go clean your lockers out. What? Didn't see that coming. I mean, seriously, didn't see that coming. Now, they did help us to have a severance package that day. They sent me home with a little severance package, helped me get through a time period where they would assume, I guess, I'd look for another job. But, man, jobs like that one weren't easy to come by. And that was a great opportunity to just lose it. That day, when myself and those other five guys that worked on my own refinery were let go, there were three of us that had intimate relationships with Jesus. Now, when I was working at that crude oil refinery, I would take my Bible to work with me. And I did all my responsibilities. But, like, if I was working the night shift, you said, well, Pastor, when did you first start reading and learning the Bible at that refinery? I didn't just, you know, hey, one day I think I'll just be a preacher and I'll read the Bible. I didn't have a clue at that time. I was pouring the Word of God into my heart that He was going to transform my life and move me in the direction that He did. I didn't know that. I just knew this. Jesus saved me. I love Him. I want to know more about Him. I haven't read the Word, and now I'm going to. But, man, I would bring my Bible to work, and I'd start reading it, and my friend Steve, he'd bring his, and when we were on the afternoon shift, if we caught some slack, we'd sit down at work and read our Bibles together. And we'd talk about it. And we were just both babies. I might have known a little tiny bit more than he did, but we were both just baby Christians. And we just reading the Word together. We just talk about it right there at work. And so, man, what a great job getting paid reading the Bible, getting paid well, and having time to read the Bible. When I was on the night shift, man, I had hours on every, depending on what I was working, 8 or 12-hour shift, I'd have hours of just time to just be there and monitor things and whatever, but I could read. I sat there, and so I read the entire Bible cover to cover in 8 months while I was getting paid for it. What a lucrative job. But then one day, boom, it's over. And on that day that job was over, three of us, like I said, had intimate trust and faith in the Lord. I was tithing, honoring God with the first fruits of my increase. I was giving as the Lord led me to give. And I don't know what the other two guys were doing, but I know that they had their faith in the Lord. And, man, when that guy told us all, you guys can clean your lockers out, I mean, we were all shocked. I was mad. I'm be straight up honest. I was mad. I was fuming because I felt like it was such an injustice to do it. And the way they did it, it was such an injustice. I felt wrong. I felt slighted. I started to walk out of there, and the Lord got a hold of my heart. And he said, you go walk over there to that man, and you shake his hand, and you look him in the eye, and you tell him, I forgive you for what you just had to do. So I'm like, that dude liable to hit me. This is the oil field. You know, and he's a big old guy. And I'm not all that big. So I walked over there, and he looked at me like, you know, kind of, you know. And I walked over there, and I made sure I stuck my hand out before I got to him because I didn't want to get punched. I mean, he just fired us. And I stick my hand out, and he looks at me kind of strange, and then he sticks his hands out, and I say, I forgive you for what you just had to do. I didn't wait for his response because I did what God told me to do. How many remember this? I hope you do. Duty is mine. Results belong to God. Come on, duty's mine. I'll do what God tells me to do, and then He can take care of the results. I don't have to see results first. I'll just do what I need to do. And I know that God is faithful to bring the results to pass. So that day, I did what God told me to do, and I'm walking back across that, where the building we're at. We had a long walk back to where our lockers were, and we were walking. And you know how it went. There were six of us that got fired, and the three of us that had faith wind up kind of in our own little group, and them other guys are there cussing and carrying on and throwing their hard hats, and, I mean, they didn't know what they were going to do. The three of us that have faith were walking across the yard, and so one of them says, well, guys, we know God's got this. He's going to take care of us. Another one said, yep, I know that's true. And I said, yep, the Lord has something better for us. And that's how we were talking to each other. Those other guys were cussing. One of them threw his hard hat down. I don't think he even went back to get it. When we got in there to cleaning our lockers out, them guys were crying, literally crying. angry and crying. My anger was gone. As soon as I shook that guy's hand, all my anger was gone. And I didn't know what was going to become of it. I just believed this, that if this is how it's going down, then it must be that God has something better for me. And I gathered up my stuff and said my goodbyes to those guys because I wouldn't see them much because the refinery I worked at was, I don't know, 30 miles away from my house, and went on about my way. Came home, walked in my house. Kids were at school. They were little, but they were at school. Sharon was there. And I walked in. She goes, "What are you doing here?" Well, not like, you know. She's excited because I was home, but she's like, "What are you doing here? You know, you're supposed to be at work." I said this. I said, "What's Psalm 23 say?" She goes, "What?" She goes, "What are you doing here?" I said, "What's Psalm 23 say?" She goes, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He make." I said, whoa. I said, "What does it say?" She goes, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." I said, "Good, because we don't have no job." You know what she said? "God is my witness." She said, "Praise God. He's got something better for us." That's exactly the same attitude I had. She had. You know how come we could have that attitude? Because we had already, long before that day, rolled all the care of that onto God. They said, "Well, the economy this and blah, 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 and they're going to raise gas prices, whatever." Whatever. I don't like it. I don't like what it does to other people. I don't like what it does to me, but my real thought is about others who would be more impactful on them than me. But the fact of the matter is, any human being who has rolled the care of their support over onto God, it doesn't matter what the economy does. God's going to take care of you. If your name is Elijah and he got to feed you with ravens by the brook, and then it dries up and he's got to send you to a region full of heathens called Sidon and send you to a widow's house who doesn't even have enough meal and flour to make more than one cake, God will use all that stuff to take care of you and you will not lack. If you're being obedient to him, you will not lack. Do you hear me? Amen. And that's my testimony. I can't promise you that if you tithe, if you sow seeds, that you're going to have a bank account with so many zeros in front of the decimal point this time that you won't know what to do with it. I cannot promise all that to you. I cannot promise that you'll be a millionaire. I cannot promise that you'll even be a thousandaire or a hundredaire. But I will promise you this. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. He will not fail you. You will have, and I believe this, he is the God of abundance. In the Old Testament, they called him El Shaddai, and it literally means the God who is more than enough. And when you look at Jesus multiplying loaves and fishes, taking a lack situation that is literally so lacking that it's impossible, and did he manufacture or create by miraculous intervention just enough? No, he did not. Two different times he fed thousands of people, and each time he fed thousands of people, the first time there was 12 baskets of food left over. And I'm not talking about little baskets. I'm talking about baskets. There were 12 baskets of food left over. And the second time he fed the people, it was a whole different deal. The 4,000 and the 5,000, it's not a miscalculation number. Two separate events in the Gospels. The second time, 7 baskets full. But the point is this. Do you not think that God knew how much they would eat? Why the leftovers? Why the leftovers? The answer is because God wants to demonstrate that he can take your not enough, and because he's the God of more than enough, he can give you the more than enough. Amen? Not to hoard, not to trust in it. Come on. If your bank account starts getting fat and you catch yourself trusting in it, you might want to just give it all away. There was a rich young man came to Jesus one day, really rich. You know the story. He said, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He knew he didn't have it. Jesus looked at him and loved him and said this. He said, "Sell everything you have, go give it away to the poor, and then come and follow me, and you will have treasures in heaven." Now, how many of you know this? When God asks you to give something, what does Jesus tell us in Luke 6:38? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Peter one day asked Jesus, he said, "Lord, we left everything to follow you. We left it all to follow you. What about us?" And Jesus made this promise. He said, "I tell you that no one who leaves lands, houses, family, fields, any of that, for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, will they be without? He said, but you shall have 100 times more in this life and life eternal. That sounds like a promise to me. Now, does that mean if I give, God owes me? Well, I don't want what God owes me, but it's a matter of seed, time, harvest. That's how everything God does works. When God wanted us to be his children, what did he do? He gave his only begotten son. That's seed, time, and harvest. Everything God does is on that principle of me releasing and releasing my faith, and not just faith. You know, I can't see faith. I can see the evidence of it, but I can't see faith. He wants me, that faith, to have a physical expression. When the friends brought to the Jesus, the paralyzed friend on the mat, they dug the roof off, didn't they? And it said, the Bible says this, Jesus saw their faith. How could he see their faith? He saw their faith by their actions. See, I can say I trust God all day long. Words come cheap sometimes, but my actions need to back it up. And then God takes that response, that seed, and he begins to work with it. In my case, when I got fired from the refinery, did my income go up or down that year? I'm going to be honest with you. My income went down that year, but my standard of living went up, in my opinion. All things considered, my spiritual life, my physical life, I never lacked. We never went hungry. We never not had a roof over our head. And God was working in our lives and bringing us into the fullness of what he had. So I look at it as a promotion all the way. Amen. All the way. No regrets whatsoever. But that peace and that confidence that I had that day, priceless. Absolutely priceless. You know, it's great to think that I've got a backup plan. If something happens, I've got a backup plan. Well, that's fine, but in all honesty, there's no backup plan like just knowing this. No matter what comes or what goes, God is for me. I'm on his side, he's on my side, and it's all good. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, in case you didn't catch this, you have to make adjustments. Now, God told us what to do, and he never told us to deviate from it. But sometimes we do. What do I do if I'm going, if I'm sailing in a boat and I'm doing great and then all of a sudden the wind shifts or my course changes and I need to go a different way? Well, I make adjustments. God has a word that works for you. Amen? And he will show you exactly what to do. But the bottom line is you can trust God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, Father, you told us in the written word, Lord God, about bringing the whole tithe into the storehouse, and you promised us the covenant blessing of open windows of heaven would be ours, and that you would be able to rebuke the devourer for our sake because we honored you with the first fruits of our increase. So, Father, we do that. But we also, Father, want to be open to whatever else you'd have us to do, whatever else you'd have us to give, wherever you'd have us to give. And so, Father, we just commission and commit ourselves and our well-being and our supply to you. We ask your blessing upon this offering. In Jesus' mighty name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Glory to God.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
I want you to look at John chapter 8. I think we're going to start in about verse 28. Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and I do nothing on my own, but I speak just what the Father has taught. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. I always do what pleases him. I'd vote for that guy. Even as he spoke, many did what? What'd they do? They put their faith in Jesus. So I'm going to call these people baby Christians, believers. Verse 31, to the Jews who had believed him. This is just the ones who believed him. Those who put their faith in him, Jesus said to the believers, if you hold to my teaching, the King James says, if you continue in my word, if you hold to my teaching, then you're really my disciples. And then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How many of you have been set free by the truth? He said, when I wasn't free, it was because I didn't know the truth. I didn't know the truth about God, our Father. I didn't know the truth about Jesus. I didn't know truth about the things of God. I didn't know the truth about my sin. I was deceived. Everywhere I turned, I was deceived. But Jesus said, not to people who didn't believe in him. He said to the people who do believe in him, if you continue in my word. That's a day-by-day thing. That's not a, hey, if y'all will continue my word for a few minutes, you know? Our revelation of truth is progressive. The more truth I know, the more truth I can know. When I was in kindergarten, I knew A comes before B, comes before C, but there were a lot of other things I didn't know. But until I knew that truth, I couldn't move on to C, spot, run. Come on. Spiritual truth is like that. I need to receive the truth that I have and then continue in that truth and continue in that truth, and I'll know more and more truth, and that truth will bring what? Freedom. We read in Timothy, God wills that all men be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. So getting saved is the first step to knowing the truth. But it's not the whole enchilada. It's getting saved and coming to knowledge of the truth. Where are they going to get that? Well, they got to continue in the word. You know, you can never continue in something you didn't start. So if I'm praying for people and if their actions speak to me that they probably don't know Jesus, how many of you know that you can tell? You need to evaluate people's fruit. Don't just listen to what they say. Words are fruit, but they're not the whole fruit. Words need to match up with actions. And Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7. He goes, a good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. And by their fruit you know them. And then he said also, he goes, a good man cannot bring forth evil because that's not what's stored up in him. And an evil man cannot bring forth good because he's got evil stored up in him. So should I be able to look at people around me and tell what their relationship is with the Lord based on the way they act, the way they talk, the way they treat other people, the way they do business? Yeah, I ought to be able to see. Now, does that mean that if someone falters or falls and does something they shouldn't do and they stumble and falter, that immediately I'm going, yep, I knew it. They were a deceiver. They're a hypocrite. No, they're a human being. Here's the question. When they make that mistake, do they continue in it? You say, why are you talking about fruit? Because the fruit or the lack of fruit or bad fruit is what's going to provoke me to pray in a certain way. When I look at certain people that are nationally known figures, especially people, some of them from Washington, I don't have to ask myself, do they have an intimate relationship with Jesus? Man, their words, their actions tell me loud and clear they don't know Jesus. So what should I do? Bash them? Talk bad about them? Make up jokes about them? No. We don't need to make jokes about people, and we don't need to belittle them, even if they seem to deserve it. What we need to do is pray for them. And the number one thing we need to do is pray that they come to know Jesus, because it is our Father's will that they be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. So when I'm praying for these people, the rulers and all these people in authority, number one, I'm going to pray that their eyes be open so they can see Jesus for who he really is. Because when they see Jesus for who he really is, they're going to see Father God for who he really is. Then they're going to look in the Word with those eyes. See, I can read the Bible, and an unsaved person can read the Bible, and we don't read the same Bible. We read the same words, but it speaks completely differently to me than it does to them. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we pray for them, number one, what? They be saved. Show them Jesus. Help them, Father, to see who Jesus really is. And then secondly, just this, and I'm going to be done. Lead them into your word. When you're so unfamiliar with the Bible that you cannot even pronounce the book of Psalms correctly on national television, but you want to portray yourself as a Christian believing person, nobody is buying it. If you don't know why I said that, that's fine. Now, I'm not trying to bash someone. I'm not blaming it on their age or anything else like that. I'm saying that there are a lot of people who would like to pretend like they know the Bible, they know God, they know this and that, and they don't. Their actions prove it, and we need to pray for them. It's, yes, we pray, but it's also this. They're going to be looking at me and you. We're the greatest billboard that God has. We are His ambassadors. We're the ambassadors of Jesus Christ to this world. If we go out here on the street corner and preach hate and condemn people that don't agree with us, that's exactly what they think Jesus is like. How many of you know that is not what Jesus is like? The very first person that saw the resurrected Jesus was Mary of Magdala, who before coming to Jesus, her occupation was what? Prostitute. How'd she get there? The Bible doesn't tell us. I guarantee you, she didn't just wake up one day and go, I think I'll be a prostitute. Through a lot of horrific circumstances, she found herself in that pit of despair. And she was so low in her life that demons had literally taken up residence in her. The Bible says she had seven demons. When Jesus came into an encounter with her, she was set free. He didn't condemn her and judge her and stone her to death. That would have been the law, the Jewish law. Take her out and stone her to death. But that's not what Jesus did. He brought her into an encounter with a Father that loved her so much. And He poured His Spirit into her in such a degree, those demons had to leave. And she became a very prominent follower of Jesus Christ. I love the way the series The Chosen portrays Mary. If you haven't watched it, you need to. I love the fact that she said, I was this way, and now I'm completely different. And what happened in between was Him. That's what the world needs to hear from us. They don't need us to condemn them. They don't need us to argue with them. They need us to represent that Savior who wills all men, who desires all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the real truth about Him, about Jesus, about Holy Spirit, about the Word, about the church, truth about all things. Amen. And how about this one? I could do a better job praying for people I don't agree with in a loving manner. So Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for allowing us to come together as believers, that we live in a country, we have the freedom to do that. But I admit, Lord God, for myself, and I would imagine on behalf of others, that we can do better and we want to do better. I pray that You'd anoint us with a fresh anointing to represent You, Jesus. How many want that? Pray out loud with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I want a fresh anointing of Your Holy Spirit to represent You. Forgive me where I failed You. Give me Your boldness, absolute courage, and wisdom to represent You everywhere I go. And help me, Father, be that person of prayer who prays for everyone, especially those in authority. May Your will be done in my life, in our nation, and in this earth as it is in heaven. I surrender myself as Your vessel in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to The Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.